radio.com station.
Atlanta Sports Radio.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Well, we had some big breaking news that potentially could be a huge deal for the Atlanta Falcons. News breaking in the last 8 to 10 minutes. Bruce Irvin is coming home to Atlanta. And not just coming home, former Stevenson High product is coming home to work out with the team. We expect a news conference today. Signs a deal through the end of the year, reunited with Dan Quinn. And according to Adam Schefter, and all signs pointing to the fact that Bruce Irvin will be on the field and in a Falcons uniform and playing on Sunday in Cleveland, Hugh Douglas.
So, to say this the right way, John, he's not working out. He's on the team.
He got signed.
He's just
practicing. Let me rephrase.
Okay. Yeah. Because when you say work out, that sounds like have to come work out for the team to show that you can play. No.
Practicing.
No, Coach Quinn got him. Signed. He's a Falcon now.
Right. He is a Falcon.
He's a Falcon. And I'm just going to be curious to see how they line up Sunday in nickel. I wonder where he's going to be. That's all I'm curious to see. I wonder how that 11 going to play out on Sunday.
Let me ask you a question in regards to that. I'm going to jump ahead here to the idea of Bruce Irvin on the Falcons. And that is, would you consider flipping Tack to the other side and letting Tack go against a right guard?
All depends, John. I mean, I think that with Bruce Irvin being here and Coach Quinn knowing him the way that he does, I mean, there's potential there to do a whole lot of different things. I mean, that's why I said it's going to be interesting to see, because somebody's coming off the field. If he's ready to go, and I'm assuming he's going to be in there, if he's playing Sunday, he's playing in pass rush situations. Who's coming off the field?
Yep, Bruce Irvin, age 31. Of course, a star with the Seattle Seahawks, with that Legion of Boom defense, with Dan Quinn, and then goes off to play for the Oakland Raiders, where he spent the last 2.5 seasons, 40 career sacks in his, his seventh season, halfway through his seventh season in the NFL, and joining the Atlanta Falcons, a lot of reason to react to this. Matter of fact, we want to hear your reaction, too, in a number of ways. We have posted the story up on our Twitter, at 929 The Game. We want you to go to Twitter and react. We posted the story up on our Facebook page. We want you to go to our Facebook page and react. And we're also going to open up the phone lines because we want to hear from you at 404-741-0929. This is the kind of big, bold, broad move that contenders make. And so people sitting around saying, well, you know, are you going to do something? How about this halfway through the season when you make this kind of a stroke in terms of trying to improve your pass rush and your defense? And improve your chances coming down the stretch against the teams. Because let's not forget, you know, you do have Baker Mayfield and then Dak Prescott, but you still have to face Drew Brees, Hugh. You got to face Aaron Rodgers. You got to face Cam Newton. And you got to face Ryan Fitzpatrick.
No question about it, John. It's a big-time move. No question about that. And I think they did it right, because the one thing that they didn't want to do is go out and bring in somebody that they had to pay a whole lot of money to. So they waited till he cleared waivers. And then they went out and they got him, and he signed a new deal. I don't know what the ramifications of the deal is, but they went out and got him. They went out and got a guy that could help you in the pass rush game, and that's why I said I'm just curious to see how this is going to line up, because this is one of those things. Like, I know we always talk about coaches speak, but in the interest of being fair and balanced, Coach Quinn kind of went back on his word about not going out and getting a big name guy. Bruce Irvin's got a pretty big name.
Pretty big name.
But it works out. Like, not trying to throw Coach Quinn under the bus. It just works out. It works out perfectly for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because he cleared waivers. It's not like you went out and you traded. You didn't give up anything to get Bruce.
You got nothing.
Bruce Irvin.
You
didn't give up
nothing.
Anything. You didn't give up anything to go get Bruce Irvin. And then on the other hand, it's, you know, Coach Quinn always talks about, you know, pressuring the quarterback is not, like, getting sacks is not that big a deal. Go out and get Bruce Irvin for the career sack. That's kind of a big deal. That kind of says that, you know, you want to kind of put pressure on the quarterback a little bit.
Now, I want to hear from people about, you know, what Thomas Dimitroff did here and what they did in terms of, you know, this kind of a move at this point in the season and how it makes you feel about the Falcons' chances now. Is this something that you say, hell yeah, this is it? Because to me, this is a hell yeah moment. You know, Bruce Irvin, I imagine that it'll be really interesting in the news conference today because Bruce Irvin's probably going to be pumped up to be back home with this team. We're certainly going to hear from him. He's, you know, probably wanted to come home. He's reunited with Dan Quinn. He gets the hell off the Oakland Raiders and comes to a team that's got a chance, and he's got a chance to be an impactful guy from the jump because he's going to be able to play this week. It's not like he has to sit around and wait to kind of rejoin the team. He's healthy. He's ready.
And I mean, I'm pretty sure he's going to get out. He's one of going to show. He's one of going to. He's going to want to show that he can still play.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to want to show that he can still get after the quarterback.
Well, back in week 5, the Raiders played the Cleveland Browns. He recorded a sack. So I'm just saying, let's get some more on Sunday.
Yeah, he's got 3 sacks on the season through 8 games this year. That would put him 2nd on the Atlanta Falcons in sacks this season. And he comes into this team joining Tack McKinley, Vic Beasley, and Brooks Reed, and Derek Shelby, and, of course, that defensive line with Grady Jarrett and Deidre Sinnott and Jack Crawford and all those guys. The more you can do. But Bruce Irvin's a pass rush guy. I mean, he is a big, bold pass rush guy. Plus, he's a great presence in the locker room, too. I mean, veteran, 31 years old, a lot of playoff experience. This is a great move on a lot of fronts for the Atlanta Falcons. And again, many ways you can react to this huge news, because I think it's huge. 404-741-0929 to tell us what you think of the Falcons' chances now that they've gone out and gotten Bruce Irvin. You can also react on our Facebook page, 929 The Game, and on our Twitter at 929 The Game, where we posted the story from the Atlanta Falcons announcing the signing of Bruce Irvin to a contract for the remainder of the year. And who knows? You know, we talk about the remainder of the year. Again, he's only 31. I mean, Bruce Irvin could be part of this team for a couple, 3 more years. You never know. But we'll just worry about that for later. Right now, he's on this team for the remainder of the year. This year,
you saw the look I gave you. John's already gave a position on the field for the upcoming 3 years. No, I mean, it's exciting, man, and even I'm even getting texts from other people now telling me how this could potentially work out. And you know, they're talking about different packages that you could use and everything. I'm still, like, I never said anybody's name that's coming off the field. I said it's just going to be interesting who comes off the field in 4th-and-30 long. Because Jack Crawford, if I'm not mistaken, had a couple sack games. He had a 2 sack game.
Right.
I mean, so.
Dak McKinley is your leading sacker.
Okay,
of the year.
Okay, who's, like, it's all about production at this point in the year. Especially when you've made it known right now with signing Bruce Irvin. That you feel like you're in position that you can make some noise.
Darn right.
So, you have to get some people on the field that are going to produce. Again, I stress again, it's going to be interesting to see in that first package when they line up for pass rush, how they're going to line up and who's going to be where. Because, you know, my man Bo Morgan just tweeted me this morning talking about the potential packages that they could have. They could slide Vic inside or Tack inside and Grady and all. Yeah, that's all great. Somebody still got to come off the field. And just like I said, Jack Crawford has been very productive in that sense. Tack McKinley's been productive. We saw what Grady has done. So we'll just have to wait and see how that's going to shake out on Sunday.
Because they're going to play in Cleveland and, of course, come home to face the Dallas Cowboys. And should Bruce Irvin get something, a little bit of heat and knock Dak Prescott to the turf, you can already hear the Brew chant, right? Yeah, you can already hear that one. Ringing through Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Again, many ways for you to react to this huge news that Bruce Irvin is on the Atlanta Falcons and playing this week against the Cleveland Browns with we haven't had official word, but I assume there'll be a news conference today and Coach Quinn will be addressing the signing and all that kind of stuff. And we'll hear from Bruce Irvin as he gets ready to play the Cleveland Browns ahead of the game on Sunday. You can go to our Twitter at 929 The Game, to our Facebook, 929 The Game, or you can call us at 404-741-0929, and we're taking your calls from Williams in Calhoun, up north of us here. William, this is a big move. How are you feeling about Bruce Irvin to the Atlanta Falcons?
Well, I feel pretty good about it. I don't really know where he's been at the entire season before. Was he just a free agent?
No, he was in Oakland. He played up until last week. Had 3 sacks, yeah.
So we had to trade to get him?
No, you cleared him off waivers.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
I like it. I like it, Ben. And I just want to say I don't think it's a discount to Vic Beasley's sack numbers. I think they're signing him so they can use him more in the linebacker spot because that's where we need some help at.
That's actually not a Williams' point is actually not a bad one. I mean, It could free you up to drop Vic into a more of a linebacker role if you wanted
it
to
could,
use him there too.
It could. And listen, I just want to say, because now my Twitter feed is blowing up and my phone talking about don't act like you don't know who's coming off the field. I don't know. Y'all could quit coming at me like that, too. I'm not trying to indict Vic or anything like that. I'm just saying.
Well, but Vic needs to step his game up. We all understand that.
I'm not saying that, John Fricke. I'm just speculating.
That's all right, I'll say it.
That's my job this morning. I'm speculating.
Vic needs to step his game up.
I'm getting all these hostile tweets from so-called friends of mine talking about, now you don't, why are you acting stupid, dog? You know who's coming off the field. I don't know that.
Yeah, and again, I think what William said, and again, 404-741-0929, what William said is true. William made actually a pretty good point. You can use, the more you can do, right? What did they do with Vic last year? Last season, they used Vic in a kind of a hybrid role as a guy who put his hand in the ground, Hugh, and a guy that dropped back at times and played a linebacker spot, you know, with assignments of covering guys coming out in the flat and tight ends and whatnot.
Yeah, but Aluikin has been playing pretty good.
I know he
role,
has.
Duke Riley.
Mm-hmm.
Again, John Fricke, this is a game of production. It's a game of production. And I'm not – I mean, it all depends on how everybody's grading out. I mean, they could be on the field. I don't know. I'm just saying this. I just can't wait to Sunday to see how they're going to line up. That's it. Because it's about production.
Mm-hmm.
And as of right now, I don't have
Jack Crawford's
numbers in front of me, but as of right now,
I would think that last week, right?
I would think he'd be on the field.
Yeah, and here's another thing too, is that and of course, again, guys can say one of the things that's true about the Falcons' defensive line is that except with the exception of Deidrin Sinnott, okay, everybody else can play either inside or outside. Even Grady would swap at times last season where he would slide outside and be kind of a defensive end position. I mean, we saw that from Grady last year. And so everybody can play kind of either move inside or move outside. I mean, Derek Shelby's a perfect example of that. So too, for that matter, is Jack Crawford. They're both inside-outside guys. You know, so I see the team doing a couple of things. One, maybe going back to Vic Beasley in a hybrid role. And the other part of that is, would you consider flipping Tack to the other side and letting Tack go up against right guards and right tackles? He could destroy those guys. That would be interesting. This hour of the show is brought to you by Renter's Warehouse. A lot of reaction. Tony, Joe, Zach, Eric, all hang on. We're going to get to you. Your call's next. Bruce Irvin to the Atlanta Falcons. Breaking news this morning on 92.9 The Game with John and Hugh.
92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We all know life in the South revolves around football.
And I think we do have a great fan base here in Atlanta.
We do too. Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I told you, I started the show by saying, man, there's going to be something today. There's something in the air. So there's going to be big news in the NFL. Well, we got it, and it was here that the big news happened. Bruce Irvin to the Atlanta Falcons, signed, sealed, delivered, and will play Sunday in an Atlanta Falcons uniform. And Bruce is tweeting out. He says, this is Bruce Irvin's tweet just a few minutes ago. Man, it's time. You can't put a price on the chance for me to play for my people and city. It's bigger than money. Bruce Irvin, your reactions to Bruce Irvin. And now, and somebody else said, hey, look, you know, forget about the other thing. What does this say? We had a tweeter in, Matt Jones, who said, think about this. What if, you know, Debo comes back after the Cleveland game? And suddenly, you know, you got Bruce Irvin and Deion Jones, you know, if that happens, right? Man of mercy. Well, you know, we are big, bold strokes. Here we go. Let's rise up and roll.
I'm with it.
Yeah.
Again, John Fricke, you leave me at a loss for words.
what have you seen in, you know, Hugh, you obviously played the position. What have you seen in Bruce Irvin's game? And we'll get to your reaction in a moment. I promise. I know a lot of people are hanging on. That you think he can help elevate this Falcons defense?
I think he's a great rotational guy. I think that he could come in and he can help bolster your pass rush. You know, Coach Quinn likes to rotate guys. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be in the rotation. Initially, I don't think he's going to come in and be looked at as one of your guys. Not initially. I think that's going to be in a couple weeks. But I think if he comes in and he produces right away, then you're probably going to see some differences. You know, I've been teasing this morning, all morning, that since we've heard that Bruce Irvin's coming, that somebody's coming off the field. I was I was kind of kidding around with that. I don't see Coach Quinn putting him in that position initially. He probably has to work up to that. He's going to be in a rotation, but I don't see Coach Quinn snatching Vic Beasley off the field and putting Bruce Irvin in. I don't see him doing that. That's not Coach Quinn's MO. So, you know, y'all can back up off me on the Twitter, talk about I'm not keeping it 100 by saying Vic's coming off the field. I don't think that's going to be the case, to be totally honest.
If you're suddenly if you're Greg Williams and the head coach of Cleveland, if you're Baker Mayfield, do you have to count Bruce Irvin shows up on the field and you got Tack McKinley on one side and Bruce Irvin on the other? Let's just say that that's the case, Hugh. You got to count for Bruce Irvin first, don't you? I mean, even though Tack McKinley has 5.5 sacks?
No, John, why?
Just asking.
I mean, he can play. He can play. But he's not – I mean, he's here. I'm going to know where he's at, but he's not factoring into the game plan that heavily right now until he shows me he can do it.
All right, let's get your reaction. Tony in Atlanta joins John and Hugh. Tony, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, slow your roll a little bit. I'm a Falcons fan. You know, it's not like they signed Hugh Douglas, but nevertheless, there's a reason he was available. And by the way, can he play defensive back? Can he play linebacker? We need some help at some of these other positions, too. I'm glad we got him. He's decent, but there's a reason he cleared waivers and he was available. Not to say that he's not an upgrade a little bit, but like Hugh saying, we got to pull somebody off to put him in. I'm glad we got him. It's okay. But let's not start talking playoffs and Super Bowl just because of this one pickup.
I know. I was talking – Tony, let me be clear.
You talking Super Bowl. Don't get my partner twisted.
Before Bruce Irvin, I was talking about playoffs and Super Bowl. Come on.
He talking Super Bowl now. What you talking about?
Yeah. I mean,
don't you be putting
this
no death
This just makes me even more excited,
dream.
The idea of Deion coming back, now Bruce Irvin on this defense.
I can tell, John.
Man, I mean, well, what?
And you put me in a bad spot because I have to be the one that, now I look like the dude that's sitting there with the pen and you got a big old balloon. You the kid with the balloon walking out of the store and I'm the big bully dude with a pen and just poking your, I don't want to be that guy, John.
No,
I don't want to be that guy.
You're not.
But you make me feel like I
don't mean to make you feel that way.
No, because you just give it like, oh my gosh, you're gonna have to account for Bruce Irvin now. We got Bruce Irvin. No, Bruce Irvin's a good player, no question about that. I don't know how much is left in the tank. I think that he can come in and be productive, yes. But I don't think that he is going to be the focal point of my pass attack or my pass rushing attack. I think Tack still is. I think if I'm double teaming somebody, it's Tack. It's going to be Tack.
Joe's in Atlanta. He's on with John and Hugh. Joe, welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys. First, I love the show. Been listening to you guys every morning. It's very excited, you know, to hear that we signed, at least finally, you know, somebody, you know, on the defensive side. You know, they can pretty much use him, you know, on the probably defensive end, like pass. Especially that we're going to be playing the New Orleans, you know, the Aaron Rodgers, you know what I mean? Those are like very good quarterbacks, you know what I mean? That if you give them too much time, you know what I mean? They can hurt us very bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we can really use him on the pass rush to basically like, you know, beef up that side of the defense. So that way, you know, Drew Brees won't be, you know, basically killing us. And Roger.
Well, he probably still, you know, I mean, I'm not going to say, you know, we understand the Drew Brees. Thanks, Joe. I appreciate your weighing in here. I mean, here's another little thing to factor into all of this. This is me being my Atlanta guy, okay? I am always thrilled when Atlanta guys play for Atlanta and star for Atlanta, okay? I mean, that's why it was so much fun for me to have Brandon Phillips and Nick Markakis and Dansby Swanson on the Atlanta Braves. When the Atlanta guys are here at home, when Neek showed up with the Atlanta Hawks, when the local guys, because it just is. Now, I'm not going to hold it against Bruce that he went to Stevenson High because I went to Lithonia, but I will say that it's great, again, to have Atlanta guys on the team because Bruce Irvin, you read it in that tweet, when Bruce Irvin said you can't put a price on it, again, here's his tweet. Man, it's time. You cannot, Hugh. You can't put a price on the chance for me to play for my people and city. It's bigger than money. I mean, he is equally as excited about this opportunity because he wanted to be nowhere but here. And I think that's a great thing. I love the fact that he wants to be on this team in this town.
See, now here I am going to be the kid with the bobby pin, poking the balloon. He'd play for anybody who would have paid him, John. The dude did clear waivers.
All right.
And I mean, just to be fair, if he would have got picked up, he would have went anywhere and played. I mean, it just, fortunate enough for him, it was the Atlanta Falcons.
And by clearing waivers, the Raiders, who of course are stripping their team down, wanted to, you know, they traded Amari Cooper, they traded Khalil Mack, and now they've let go of Bruce Irvin. They'd hope somebody would pick him up and that they would get compensation in the waiver claim, and it goes kind of in reverse order, same as the draft last year, and the worst team has the first shot, and the Falcons.
Exactly.
And so he went through the whole league and nobody claimed him. He became a free agent. The moment he became a free agent, Atlanta.
And that's the point that I was making. When you go through waivers, say for instance, if the New York Jets would have picked him up, he would have had to play for the New York Jets because they would have picked up his salary. That's all I'm saying.
But that's a $3.5 million salary they would have to take
okay,
on.
Okay, but that's the point. That's the point that I'm making. I know he wanted to play here, but I'm saying if he would have – the point that I was making – Darren, I'm going to let you make your point, but the point that I was making – was that if he would have played for whomever picked up his salary.
Right.
That's the point. That's sure. It. That's it.
Well, Von McClure, he reported that he had more lucrative offers with the Patriots and the Steelers. He wanted to be here.
And you're right, Daryl, but my point is this. He could have played any way he wanted to play. He wanted to play in Atlanta. But I said if he would have got picked up with anybody else when he was still on the waiver wire, he would have had to play for them because they would have picked up his salary.
And I think both are true, okay? I think both are true, all right?
I mean, no, it's not.
Obviously what you're saying is true because you're absolutely right.
Listen, I'm not trying to discount the fact that he wanted to play in Atlanta. All I'm saying is this. If a team would have picked him up before he cleared waivers at 4 p.m., he would have had to play for that team.
Right, I understand.
That's it. And all that's all I'm saying.
And all I was saying is I'm glad he cleared waivers because he did want to come to Atlanta, and I'm always thrilled when guys from Atlanta want to play for the local teams. I think that's a cool thing. Eric in Lilburn is on with John and you. Hey, Eric.
Hey, how you guys doing? So I feel like this works on a couple of levels. First and foremost, depth. If we go back to the Super Bowl, what killed us was defensive line depth, or lack thereof. Also, I think it gives us a variety of different packages that we can use depending on the offensive line that we're facing. We're always going to have Grady in there. We're always going to have Tack in there. So now we can rotate Jack and Vic and Bruce now. Also, finishing. What Dan Quinn always preaches, finishing. And Tack has been getting to the quarterback, but even last weekend, he didn't get Alex Smith down. He had that big run before Poole lit him up.
In all fairness, Grady also had him wrapped up around with both arms around the legs and didn't get him down, too. I mean, in all fairness.
Right. But I just feel like Vic is almost like True, where True can't catch the ball, Vic gets to the quarterback, can't get him down. But, yeah, it's definitely nice to have an extra piece, kind of light a fire under Vic a little bit, because Vic is getting there. We're not giving up on Vic, but he has to finish at the end of the day.
I appreciate that, Eric and Lilburn. Bruce Irvin, a member of the Atlanta Falcons, a news conference today. We'll hear from him. And according to Adam Schefter, he is cleared to go, as Adam Schefter reported for Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. It is really, I think, fascinating, Hugh, to look at what the Falcons have right now on defense. You're getting Rocky Alford back this week, according to Coach. He's going to be working out. There's the potential of Deion Jones back next week. Now you have Bruce Irvin into the mix. And so my hopes, we know what they can do offensively. And even Coach talked about it today, about the rise in his on the offensive line, of the play of Wes Schweitzer and Ben Garland and how pleased he is with that. The Falcons have really come out of a position at 1-4 after the Steelers loss that some teams would have just not given up, but some teams would have kind of like put it into a little bit more kind of cruise control or something. I don't know how to phrase this. He's done a masterful job of getting the team into this position and giving us fans, me, real hope that they can make a serious run.
I think the biggest thing that I've taken from what the Falcons have went through this year from a defensive standpoint is that they stayed the course. They believed in the people that they had, and they started to play better. I mean, that's – shout out to Coach Manuel. I think that's the biggest thing that was the difference. And Coach Quinn as well. They believed in their guys.
Bruce Irvin comes to the Atlanta Falcons. It will be the key story all day long. 2 hours before the game, Bud Light countdown to kickoff on Sunday at 11 o'clock. Mike Connie, Hugh Douglas previewing the Falcons, getting ready for football. Bud Light, game day's favorite, light lager. When we get back, we live in it. That area of the show known as Hugh's World.
Yes, where somebody's going to the Ohio to pick up their basketball career. I'll tell you who that is on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Day.
It's our Falcons. Followed by a Atlanta United playoff game number 2. And it's Hawks and Lakers. All 3 games exclusively here.
Big Sunday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind
of Hugh Douglas.
Hugh's World has been brought to you by Camus. Camus, the game day cognac. Because every day is game day.
Before I get to this LaMelo Anthony story, I just want to say that I am not the bad guy. I said LaMelo Anthony, didn't I? LaMelo Ball. I'm sorry, but I ain't the bad guy. That's what the point that I wanted to make. I'm just here to keep perspective.
I mean, you did come in here with Panthers colors this morning, so
this is not Carolina. Panthers colors. This is just a shirt. It's a shirt. Yeah. It's not like I'm a Carolina Panthers fan. It's just a shirt, and I hate that everybody feels like I'm just being a Debbie Downer, like I'm walking around with like pins and just poking everybody's balloon. That's not what I'm trying to do. Just putting everything in perspective.
Balloons are fun too, Hugh.
Oh, they're not. They just mess their heat up balloons. But anyway, let me go ahead and get past this. First of all, this story is about LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball, you remember last year they all went to play in the Land of the Beautiful Basketball.
Land of the Beautiful Basketball.
Yes. Well, now LaMelo Ball and his family has made another unexpected turn. Over the last couple of weeks, LaMelo sat down with his family, and after multiple discussions, the decision was made for the 17-year-old stud to return to high school in the United States and join his peers. At the time LaMelo left Keno Hills High School last year, he was ranked number 7th recruit in the 2019 class and a clear-cut famous high school hooper in the most famous high school hooper in the world. LaMelo is now going to a school in Ohio. It's in Geneva, Ohio. It's called the Spire Institute. He'll be playing for the basketball program there this winter and is expected to make the debut on November 13th against national powerhouse L.A. Lemieux. La Lemieux in Indiana. Am I saying that right? La Lemieux. Lemieux.
I think, is Lemieux a high school in Louisiana?
No, it's in Indiana. La Lemieux.
La Lemieux?
Yeah. Am I saying it right, John? You know.
I don't know.
L-U-M-I-E-R-E. Lemieux.
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 Lemieux. La Lemieux in there. Because Spire Institute is a prep school instead of a traditional high school, LaMelo will be eligible to play against other top prep schools.
Yeah, can I ask an interjective question here? How is he eligible if he played in the JBL in Lithuania?
Because they just said it's not a traditional school. It's not a traditional high school. Okay. And that's why he's eligible to play. The thinking behind the decision is to show scouts just how good LaMelo is when placed among his own age group, especially with him being eligible for the 2020 NBA draft. It has, in his last JBA international tour game against the London Lions, the now 6'7 point guard posted 41-point triple-double, 17 assists and 13 rebounds. He averaged 40 points, 13.8 rebounds, 11 assists, and 3.6 steals per game during the inaugural domestic JBA season this last summer. During the first 7 games of JBA international tour, he averaged 29 points, 12.4 assists, 8.7 rebounds, and 5.1 steals. LaMelo boarded a cross-Atlantic flight back to L.A. on Monday and is expected to start at Spire in the coming days. That's pretty interesting, though.
Well, here's the answer that we've been to the question that we've been banding about all morning. Mm-hmm. According to the academic or athletic director at this particular school, he claims Ball was not compensated and never received payment for playing in Lithuania. We may all debate that, but based on what he's saying, that keeps him eligible to play high school basketball.
Right. If it does, that also means he's eligible to play college basketball, and it will be interesting to see. You know, you can bet that you know, the Calipari's and the Krzyzewski's are going to be raising their hands, you know, for that.
Well, if he's good enough.
Well, yeah, he's good enough.
I don't know about that.
He's good enough to play college basketball.
Well, yes, but I wouldn't necessarily say he's Kentucky ready right now.
Okay, well.
LaMelo?
Well, he may be by the time he's done with his. I don't know. I mean, it'd be interesting. Well, I guess that's my point. It'd be interesting to see where he is and how many people recruit him. Like, for example, if Lonzo's still in L.A., would he want to go to, like, USC? Not going to go to UCLA, not after what happened to LiAngelo, but would he want to go to USC, for example? Because USC and the Lakers, their stadiums are – how far apart are USC and the Lakers stadiums? 2 or 3 miles?
About so.
Yeah. Just saying.
He's got a lot to prove. I mean, I'm not trying to say he's not going to play college ball, based on what I, the little I've seen of him right now and the reports that I've read about his high school days, he still has ways to go.
Yeah, but to be ranked number 7th in the country, that's pretty impressive. Well, before you left, that's still pretty impressive. So, and not only that, AT, I would think that with you playing against older competition, that you don't feel like that kind of sharpened his game a little bit, or that kind of diminished it?
No, I hope it made it better, but I don't think, based on the stuff we read coming from the JBL and the Lithuania
you don't feel
contest,
like that's the case.
I don't think it really, I don't know yet. I don't know. I want to see more from him.
I think the biggest story behind this is that in his own unique way, LeVar Ball has kind of admitted that he kind of made a mistake in pulling his kids out and taking them to Lithuania.
Well, I think he rolled the dice, I think, more than anything else.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm not trying to bust bubbles. I'm not trying to bust balloons. But when you take your kids out and you go to Lithuania and, you know, it doesn't work out the way that you want it to work out, it doesn't work out that way in the JBA league or whatever it is, that says to me, like, okay, you miscalculated. Is that a better word to use?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's fair enough.
Since everybody's all up in their feelings today about me.
I'm not qualified. I can't speak on this.
Well, so but let me ask this, though. Do you think that was more for the second kid because he didn't have the ability to play college ball anymore? He needed to get him someplace so he can at least attempt to showcase his skill.
Okay, you might be right. But
Jello wanted to play in the JBA,
But LaMelo suffered for that then. If that's the case, then that to me says that LaMelo suffered for a decision that you made for the middle child.
Yeah, because the hopes was that he would get drafted in the NBA in this past year's draft, and that didn't happen. And I don't even know if he's playing for a G League team right now.
No, I don't think so. No, he's not. He's on the JBA All-Star team that's over right now.
Mm. So, yeah, I mean, it just seems like, you know, in his own way, it was a miscalculation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the nice word I'm going to use. A miscalculation, because right now I'm the bad guy.
And man, you've been the bad guy all morning,
and you will never see another bad guy like this ever again.
Huh? She about to cry. You came in here about to cry during the break, man.
Ain't nobody.
Well, everybody
crying.
Picking on me this morning.
I didn't say it.
Everybody
like that.
Texting me.
Oh,
Ryan Cameron texting
you.
Me. Your mama texts me.
Yeah, right.
Everybody texting
you know
me.
What, though? Ryan, that was real. Ryan Cameron, I know you're listening. That was real mean what you said to me in my text message.
So do you admit that you came in here whining?
No, I wasn't.
Cut it out.
Yeah, we're going to talk after the show.
Let's do it. I've been waiting to talk to you.
Talk after the
show. I've been waiting.
I'll just keep it 100.
Okay.
I think I have somewhere to go. I don't want to be a part of this.
I got the foreign object in here.
Rick and John hunkering down at Flowery Branch. Great place to be today considering the big news of the Atlanta Falcons and Bruce Irvin. They're coming up top of the hour on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.